الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وللرجال عليهن درجة. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, we have just emerged from a month, from the Gregorian point of view, the month of August, which was celebrated in this country as being the month for the rights of the women. On the other hand, on the other side of the world, so to speak, we have the situation in which from the 1st of September, officially a ban was imposed upon Muslim women to wear any form of veil or even a scarf in public places in France. And I thought that today we would address some of these issues. Obviously, the topic is such a long topic that we would not be able to do justice in it. But one or two things briefly that we would like to outline. Now, of course, we know the plight and role of women has become a major rights issue, and also the rights of Muslim women, which has become a major point of contention in the emerging clash of civilization. The West, they claim and they say with pride that they are supposed to, or they have, quote unquote, the gold standard in terms of women's rights. But of course, before going into it, we should understand that the West has a long history of oppressing women. This in itself is a very great and long story with regard to how they have oppressed the woman. Lest one forget, until 1860, a married woman in England and the United Kingdom did not even exist as a legal personality. She did not even exist as a legal person. This was the situation that they have come from. Obviously, there was a change. The change came about in the beginning of the 19th century. Now, this change was not because of any kindness or compassion upon women, but it was because of the pressures generated by the capitalist industries. Because of the capitalist system, and there was a need for cheap labor force, and the women fit that bill completely and perfectly for those who were greedy, for those who were the captains of industry. So they filled in that form and that filled in that role in the form of secretaries, air hostesses, clerks, and sales ladies. This was a situation because of which they were forced out of their homes and they were given some sort of recognition. Once again, I said not because of any kindness and compassion, but because of the force of the industrialist capitalist system. And of course, that was then taken on by the feminist movement, and they then took it as a moral prerogative. And what was their situation, and they felt, and they started looking at the progress of women in accordance with how many women they could have driven out of their homes. So this was their situation. They looked at the progress of women in the sense of how much have become entrepreneurs, how much have become in the workforce, how much of them have been driven out of their homes. Their convoluted logic, if you want, worked something like this, that if a woman were to, in the workplace, which by and large this is the role that she plays, if she were to serve as a secretary, as a sales lady, as an air hostess, if she was to serve strange men in that capacity, and completely strange men, and also in the process becoming the target of the much widely raised phenomena of sexual harassment, then she is regarded to be, in their eyes, to be progressive. But if the woman were to have done the very same thing that she does for strange men, and also risking sexual harassment, but if she was to do the same thing, serving her own husband and children, according to the convoluted logic, she would be regarded as backward and against modernity and against progressiveness. Then, of course, it took further. You see, the ancient Greek philosophers used to debate whether the woman had a soul or not. They used to debate whether a woman had a soul or not. Now, the Western civilization has now, in their own view, have come to a conclusion. Their conclusion, leave the soul, she is nothing but a body. She is nothing but a physical appearance. And she is only appreciated because of her looks and because of her so-called attractiveness and her sex appeal. Therefore, it is not uncommon that she is stripped of all modesty, of all dignity, of her clothes, to advertise everything from lingeries to even something that is as unfeminine as the tire trucks. There is a situation with regard to it. And just to show you with regard to the whole situation, how it works, there was a recent article in the Los Angeles Times which spoke about pornography in the internet, which of course it's a very multi-billion industry. It is also something which has become very widespread in situations where the Western civilization is in ascendancy. But when discussing this particular problem, or discussing this particular issue, the article goes on to make mention that while pornography and nudity of woman is demeaning to her, but on the other hand, it has also made many women entrepreneurs by marketing their physical assets. Now, how do you in reality argue with such type of logic? But that is a situation, and that is a reality with regard to how the West looks at the women. It's just another form of exploitation. Exploitation previously was in a different guise. Now the exploitation has come in a complete different guise. Another aspect that they like to talk about is gender equality. Now, when they talk about gender equality, we must look at it that gender equality is a very slick and a very catchy slogan. It seems to make much and it appeals much to the women. But in reality, what is gender equality? And if you look at the dictionary and if you look at the word equality, what it means, equality is that they are equal in every sense, to the extent that you would be able to substitute one for the other. Equality would mean in the real sense that there is such equality that even if one is not there, then you can substitute that one with the other. That is what is regarded to be equality in the true sense. Now that between men and women is manifestly absurd. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them differently. Every hormone in their body, every aspect with regard to their physical makeup shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them differently. And now to say that they are equal in every sense, that one can substitute the other, is manifestly absurd. And if you regard that to be true, then perhaps the next pregnancy you might be invited that you must take over. Now that is a situation with regard to gender equality. In this regard, Islam does not believe in such nonsense. What Islam had said, while women have rights, and those rights have been proclaimed even before it has become fashionable to talk about those rights. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْرُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and for them is the same type of rights, or similar type of rights, the way that has been given to men. Now the very important phrase here is similar and not same. Similar type of rights, not same type of rights. And this, it is something which is in the qualitative, not in the quantitative sense. Rights and say similar in terms of the qualitative sense and not in the quantitative sense. Therefore, there is equality in rights in terms of her humanity, in terms of her dignity, in terms of her accountability, in terms of the fact that how she would be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what she has done. In that there is complete equality. That is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention. Inna al-muslimina wal-muslimat, wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, wal-qanidina wal-qanitat, wal-sadiqina wal-sadiqat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in the 22nd surah of the Holy Quran. So there is equality in terms of dignity, in terms of her humanity, in terms of her accountability for the deeds, in terms of the legal situation. It is not as if she has done something wrong, she will get lesser punishment. Or if the man has done something wrong to her, there will be a lesser a punishment meted out to her in terms of the Islamic law. But that does not mean in any way that her tasks are the same in the Islamic society or in the Islamic worldview than what has been given to men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her a task which is equal, and it is in accordance with her temperament and with her capacity and her capability. And in reality, if you were to look at equality in the sense, this is the right way of looking at it. In this, there would be a complementary role of men and women to the betterment of society, rather than an adversarial role, rather than them being adversaries, rather than them being fighting it all the time with regard to who is better or what is better or what role they are supposed to play. If you, for example, have a business in which there are four co-equal partners, what does the meaning co-equal partners mean? It means they share jointly in the profits, but each and everyone does that for which he is most suited to. A person cannot say we are two co-equal partners in a business, therefore if my brother or my partner is doing the buying, I have to do the buying. Obviously you would share the capabilities, or you would share the task in accordance with your capabilities, but at the end of the day you would be equal partners in the business. That is what is meant, and that is how a joint partnership is going to work. In a similar manner with regard to the joint partnership between men and women, it is a role that is complementary, and it is not one that is adversarial that you have to fight with regard to it. Now, after understanding this, we have to now make mention. As I said, we don't have enough time to go into all aspects, but one of some of the aspects that we're going to look after understanding this brief introduction, if you may. One of the things is we must understand that the greatest task Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to woman folk is that of her task and her role as a homemaker. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith which appears in Musnad Ahmad, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the woman, look after the home, for in that lies your jihad. Jihad is the greatest rank a person can get in an Islamic sense of the word. In Islamic terminology, the greatest rank is that of a jihad. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention through the means of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that look after the home, for in that lies your jihad. By looking after the home, we must understand, it doesn't mean that she must cook only for you. That's a moral responsibility. It is not her real responsibility. It is not a primary responsibility. It means that she would take care of the future generation. And she would impart the beautiful values which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us to the next generation. Wallahi, if she were to have, she have to perform that role, then you will find that the great amount of propaganda, the great amount of effort to wean Muslims away from their own norms and values will end up in failure, because they would have been properly grounded by the first ustad that the child has, and that first teacher would be the lap of the mother. In fact, even up to now, there is many non-Muslim scholarly works which have made mention with regard to it, that one of the ways to wean Muslims away from their norms and values is to corrupt the woman. Because they realize that this is one of the founding pillars of an Islamic society. So in this is the greatest role with regard to homemaking and to take care of the home in this sense. Not, of course, only looking after the decoration or the appearance of the home, which is not the primary responsibility. And if we start showing disrespect to this, then if we disrespect homemaking, we will lose our homemakers. When we lose our homemakers, then the whole society will suffer. The whole society would suffer, and then the family would be broken up, the homes would be broken up, and in that the whole society would suffer. One contemporary Muslim writer has given a beautiful example with regard to it, and he quotes the example of the archers on the Mount of Uhud during the Battle of Uhud. At that particular time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told the archers, you remain at this mountain. You do not leave it. In any circumstances, you do not leave it. They were 50 archers, but they held the key for the success of the entire Muslim army on that occasion. And then when the non-Muslims were fleeing, those archers felt that, now why must we stay here? Allah Ta'ala has granted us victory, so let us also go and help. And let us also go and chase the disbelievers away and let them help. Let us help the Muslims in making them flee away. They left their station. When they left their station, what happened? They felt that their station was no more important. When they left the station, the whole Muslim army lost. The whole army, that Muslim army that was on the verge of success on that day, what happened? It turned into defeat. The same thing with regard to the role of the woman. They might regard their role in homemaking as insignificant. But if they start regarding as insignificant and they leave that role, and they forsake that role, the same thing will happen to the Muslim Ummah, what happened on the Battle of Uhud. The whole Muslim Ummah will suffer. So she has to keep that, her primary role, and we have to respect that. Because if we don't show respect to it, then of course it will have disastrous consequences for our whole community and society. The second thing that flows from here is, we as menfolk, the sons, fathers, husbands and brothers, have to defend and provide for our mothers, daughters, and our wives and our children. And in doing so, we would be not doing them a favor. We would be fulfilling what Allah Ta'ala says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَىٰ. We have made the man in authority over the woman. Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given you that role, بِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, that you are supposed to look after their financial needs. You would be doing them no favor. And of course, we must resist all efforts to snatch this freedom of the woman away. And we should provide them that economic security, and not allow them or force them out of the peace and dignity of their home into the harsh and often cruel labor market. And because if we do so, we would be undermining the dignity and respect and honor of our women. So Muslim men must play their role with regard to it. Look after the financial needs of your mothers, of your sisters, of your wives and your daughters. That is the role which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has granted to you, so that you do not force our own women out of the peace and dignity of their home and bring them into the cruel market of the labor force, which many things happen which are not all necessary savory. Then another aspect with regard to it, and of course talking about this authority is not a bed of roses. This authority is a situation where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wants you to act responsibly with it. And part of that acting responsibly is to look after the financial, look after the emotional, look after the physical needs, also to be with kindness and compassion towards our women folk. You know, that's the type of authority. One man wanted to show his authority one day to his wife, but he didn't have the moral authority behind trying to show that authority. So he told his wife that we are not going out tonight. Then when he looked up towards his wife and saw that she was becoming angry, and he said, this is semi-final. So this is a situation that we have to keep in mind. The other aspect with regard to it, her dignity does not lie in her shedding of her clothes. Her dignity lies in the dress of modesty, which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has repeatedly emphasized in the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِنَتَهُنَّ. Tell unto the believing woman, and what is that? That she should cast her gazes down. Together with that, she should dress modestly, and she should not flout her beauty in front of other people. She should, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. She should not flout her beauty in front of other people. This is what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says. Allah Ta'ala says in another place in the Holy Quran, يَا بَنِي آدَمْ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. O Bani Adam, don't let shaitan delude you and mislead you, and part of him misleading you. كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنْ